for that ministry and music. Well, tonight we're going to be continuing on with the series that I mentioned to you this morning. We're going to be talking about how God changes us, again, for the next few weeks as pastor's gone. And this morning we talked about the Word of God, how obviously that changes us in profound ways as we read it, as it's shared with us, as God allows it to work in our hearts, and we discuss the many ways in which that transforms us. Tonight, part two is on leaders and mentors, and I really just wanted to put this sideways to say, if I could get everybody to tilt their heads like that, I thought that would be pretty funny to look at. No, I think you can read that. Good, right? All right, yes. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So I have a lead question for you, and that's who are the Christians who have shaped your life the most? Okay, I think I'm probably going to lead off each night or each morning with a lead question here, something for you to ponder. Let me say that again. Who are the Christians who have shaped your life the most? I'm talking about leaders or mentors or just ordinary people that you look up to and admire. In your lifetime, what godly Christian individuals have influenced you? Hopefully, I think you can name a few, and I wish I had time for us to just kind of break up into groups and kind of talk this over. Unfortunately, we don't. I've wrote too much, so I have to keep moving here. But hopefully you can think of some in your own mind, people who have influenced you throughout your life. Maybe you had a mentor or several mentors that helped you through a difficult period of time or just were there to encourage you. Maybe you can think of some spiritual leaders, maybe some national figures who you really looked up to, enjoyed listening to their ministry or watching their ministry, or maybe you have a favorite author, a Christian author, who's really encouraged you over time. In any case, no matter who you think of, it probably falls into one of two categories. Maybe somebody who's more distant, somebody who's more nationally known or a leader of a larger group that you don't maybe know on a personal level, or maybe you're thinking of individuals who you know on a personal level who have been your close personal mentors through the years who have helped you out in that way, that you had a built relationship with. Whoever you thought of, you probably fall into one or those two categories. Tonight we're continuing to talk about Christian transformation, and specifically we're asking, how does God change us? This morning, again, our first answer was the Word of God. Tonight our second answer is through spiritual mentors and leaders. Leaders and mentors. Now, when we really start to think about it, we realize that there are many different types of people who serve as spiritual leaders or mentors in our lives. And I have just a few of them up here on the screen for you. Could be Sunday school teachers, could be pastors, could be college profs or maybe public school teachers who have meant a lot to you, maybe Christian individuals in that regard, when we're thinking about people who specifically encourage you in your walk with Christ. Elders or deacons, maybe a youth leader, a counselor, a coach, parents perhaps, a relative, camp counselor, if you went to someplace like Victory Valley or elsewhere, any Christian who is older or wiser than yourself, that could be anybody, or maybe a neighbor. So all these that I've listed here are just some of the types of people who can influence us, in our spiritual life. And again, as you thought of people who have been influential in your own life, they are either people who are perhaps more large-scale leaders or people you knew personally. But whether you thought of a more wide-scale leader or a personal mentor, everybody needs leaders, spiritual leaders in their life. A few weeks back, again, at Fellowship Sunday, I said this morning, that I had asked this question of you. And for anybody who was there at that particular meal, I would pass out some pieces of paper that said, you know, who is it that has been in your life that has influenced you, or rather, it was more broad than that, how has God worked in your life, right? How has God changed you? And you put down a variety of answers, at least the ones I got back. And some of the answers included things that fall into this category. You know, that you had a person in your life who really changed you. You can think back to a moment in time where you were living a certain way, where you were discouraged or you didn't know what to think, and then this person came along and changed the course of your life. Okay, and as we look in the scriptures, we find that that's a very scriptural idea as well. We can find many examples of people who came alongside of oftentimes younger people and influenced them in their walk with Christ. But the point I want to get to you across to you at first here is that we really do need godly leaders and mentors in our life. And how do we know that? Well, I have a few points for you to lead off here before we get deep into the scripture. Number one, even the secular world knows the value of mentors. I know several teens that have been through YF already. Maybe they're already graduated and young adults now, we'd call them, who, you know, specifically the ones that were at Cedar Crest. I know Cedar Crest has this program called Big Star, Little Star, like a Big Star program, where you come alongside of a younger kid, maybe somebody in elementary school, and you're their big star, and they're the little star, and you come alongside of them to try and mentor them, to try and be a positive influence in their life. That's just one program I know of. I'm sure it's not limited just to Cedar Crest, but the point I'm trying to get at is the world knows the value of mentors. And you think about even large-scale people that we know of in the news, people who are celebrities. Even celebrities need coaches. Even athletes, professional athletes, need coaches to help them get better at what they do. Athletes have coaches and trainers. Singers have vocal coaches. So even the most talented people that we could think of need a coach, a mentor to help them improve. And if that's the case, how much more do we? Secondly, many godly individuals in the Bible were strongly influenced by a spiritual leader or mentor. Let me just give you a list of a few of them offhand. Joshua was at first led by Moses. Mordecai mentored Esther, you could say. He wasn't technically her parent. He might have assumed that role a little bit, but he gave her advice. Solomon was taught by his father David. Elisha followed Elijah. Jesus, of course, mentored 12 disciples, 12 apostles. And Paul mentored Timothy and Barnabas and many other individuals, as we see his attitude just writing to young men in his letters. So the Bible's filled with examples of people who are personally helped and instructed by somebody who was older or wiser. And the Bible has even more examples of spiritual leaders who had a big effect on masses of people. Remember I was saying there's two categories of this. You have your personal one-on-one mentor, and you have your big-time leader, okay? There are people like Josiah, who influenced a wide range of people because of the reforms that he instituted, or Ezra or Esther, as they influenced people to repent or to fast or to do all kinds of things because of their influence. So why are spiritual leaders and mentors important? Because the Bible's filled with them. Third reason it's important to have mentors is because the Bible instructs us to pass on spiritual wisdom to others. And I would say also, and to listen to the wisdom of those who are older. So there's this kind of two-way street that we're commanded to maintain here. Titus 2, 3 through 6 says this. And again, as it was true in the morning, if you have the Logos Bible app installed on a smartphone or whatever, you can follow this service, and it'll have little pop-ups, and all these little scripture references will appear whenever you see this little icon down at the bottom. That's in case you have that. If not, you can just follow along right up here. It says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. So this verse is really important, and I wanted to throw this forward because this is one of the most direct commands that we have in Scripture about this idea of older people mentoring younger people. And it's given to women, saying older women should mentor the younger women. Pass on your knowledge. Pass on what you know. Make sure you engage with somebody who is younger. And I think the implication we're given is that it's meant for young men and older men as well. Because I have highlighted in bold at the bottom, likewise urge the younger men to be self-controlled. So there's this implied command also to young men and to older men, you know, do the same thing here for people of your own gender as well. So I see in here a pattern of, hey, pass on this wisdom, pass on what you know. We have that in Scripture. Also, we have other passages that fit in with this theme. Job chapter 12, verse 12 says, wisdom is with the aged and understanding in length of days. We're to revere those who are older than us, recognizing that they have been through many experiences that we have not. Look to them for wisdom. And of course, we have Hebrews 10:24, which generally says, and let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. Okay, all good verses for us to keep in mind. Of course, the fourth reason that it's important to have godly leaders, I don't have up here on the screen, is that in our lives, many of us have seen personally how we've benefited from them, having these types of people in our lives. And that's why I think you were able to come up with those kinds of people in your mind, hopefully, when I raised the question in the beginning here, when I said, who has influenced you in your life? I'm sure many of you were able to come up with examples. And you could say to me, yes, there are ways that people have influenced me personally. And we know from experience that that is big in our Christian walk. I can personally think of about four individuals who have mentored me personally in my own Christian walk. People specifically who are older than me, who are there for me, helped impart wisdom to me. Pastor Reed is one of them. Of course, you probably all know that. He's my father-in-law. But after Sarah first witnessed to me and I became saved at the end of high school, he was one of the first people that I was able to go to and ask spiritual questions of. I had gone to a church, but I didn't really understand a whole lot of the Bible. The Bible wasn't really opened a whole lot in those messages and stuff. So when I came here and I found everybody was opening their Bible, I began to ask all these kinds of questions. And even to this day, he's still a spiritual mentor to me. I can go into his office and we can have great conversations about things. Another person is a guy named Corey McLaughlin. He's somebody who I went to Bible college with at LBC. And turns out we also both went to the same seminary. So we were able to keep in touch throughout those multiple years, those 6 years that we were together. And I still keep in touch with him. We make sure to see each other every year, even though he lives in Massachusetts and I'm here in Pennsylvania. And he's slightly older than me, and I'm able to bounce things off of him, and he's able to correct me and rebuke me when I need it and say, you're being a dummy, Dave, okay? Snap out of it. There's been times where he's come down here and he's had to tell me that. And those have been some of the most beneficial conversations, really, even though they hurt. He maintains that relationship with me and I with him. There was a pastor at a church we attended when we were in seminary. Bob Samsel is his name. As Sarah and I were volunteering with the college ministry there, he would just open up his office door and let me sit down with him, talk about issues of calling and everything. It was great. And then there was a dean at LBC as well, a dean of men, who really spoke truth into my life and helped me out. Those are four individuals I can just think of off the top of my head who have influenced me and made me into the person that I am today. And I'm sure you can think of a lot of people as well. Rick Warren, who I mentioned this morning, in the same message that I was listening to of him, said that he has 11 different people that have mentored him in his lifetime. So you can see that it's really a cool thing, and God uses it in our lives. So that's my case for having mentors and spiritual leaders speak into your life. But here's a second question. How do spiritual leaders and mentors help us grow? Okay, so we're asking, how does God change us? Okay, and I'm saying one of those ways, which I've seen time and time again, and you all have told me, is through these leaders. How do they do that? Well, first way, and we'll go through a bunch of these that we'll see in Scripture, they set an example which others follow. Okay, that can happen with somebody who's part of a larger ministry, somebody you know from afar, who's kind of like a national leader, somebody you hear about on the radio or read about in a book or whatever, or it can happen for somebody that you know on a personal level. You can be touched by their example in that way. Consider these biblical examples that we have before us that illustrate this very point. If you go to Esther chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my young men, women will fast also as you do." So you can see here, she sets an example, and a ton of people follow. She uses her influence in the kingdom of Persia to cause a mass of people to follow her in fasting and in prayer. That's one way a leader can influence us, and that's what Esther did when she had found out that all the Jews were going to be killed unless something was done. That's one example. We see in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 10 through 11, "Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book,' and Shaphan read it before the king, and when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes." Now, it doesn't say here in this passage, but the king that's being referred to is Josiah. Josiah. And if you know the story of Josiah, you know that he was a guy who became king at a very young age, the age of 8. And as he grew up, these individuals found the book of the law, which had been neglected and forgotten and lost. after so many years of evil and wicked kings, including his own father. And when he found it, they opened it up, they read it, found out everything that they weren't doing according to the law, and it says he tore his clothes, he lamented, he broke down in grief. And if we go on to chapter 23, we see what happens. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. And if you just jump down to the bottom of that, it says, and all the people joined in the covenant. There is a perfect example of how a biblical leader had a tremendous influence on his people by his own example. It passed down through everybody who followed him, and that's pretty powerful. You can think also of the king of Nineveh. Okay, if you go to the story of Jonah, Jonah tells the king of Nineveh and all the people that unless you repent, you're going to be destroyed. Well, what happens? The king of Nineveh issues a decree. And he says he arose from his throne, this is chapter 3, removed his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he said, and you jump down to the bottom, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. And they did. And what happened? The whole nation repented and God spared them. Okay, another example, just we gave three right there, of Esther, of Josiah, of the king of Nineveh, where a leader can have a tremendous impact. And you can think of that in our own nation too. There could be a Christian leader who would call us to prayer perhaps, somebody who could just really sound the rallying cry and have a tremendous amount of influence and influence us to do some great things. That's the power of a leader. And if we follow them, if we follow good leaders, we can be led into some good things. Now, those examples are great, but we also were saying that there could be more personal leaders, okay? People who we just see on an ordinary, everyday basis, okay? Not somebody who's a national leader, somebody who's just an average Joe, right? Somebody that you know, and they might also set an example for you as well that causes you to follow. Where's an example of that? Well, you can see here in Ezra chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. And this is Ezra that's being talked about. As soon as I heard this, I tore my garment and my cloak and pulled hair from my head and beard and sat appalled. And then all who trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the faithlessness of the returned exiles, gathered around me while I sat appalled until the evening sacrifice. See here, the context is that Ezra finds out that some of the people of Israel had been intermarrying with people who worshipped other gods. And he couldn't believe this, that people would go and worship other gods and abandon the Lord. And so when he finds this out, he just falls down and trembles. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Dave, you were saying this is not an example about a national leader. Ezra is a national leader. Well, yes, but in this particular instance, he's not using his influence. He's just reacting from his gut. And people who are around him aren't being given any kind of command. They're just watching him, and they're affected. You know, you can find that there are people that you have observed who react a certain way or behave in a certain way, and it just affects you deeply. Another thing spiritual leaders and mentors help us do is they give godly advice or wisdom. You know, the word mentor actually comes from Homer's The Odyssey. Odysseus, who's the hero in that story, goes off to fight the Trojan War, and he leaves his son Telemachus in the care of his friend named Mentor. And in this story, Mentor is actually the goddess Athena, who is in disguise, and she is known in Greek mythology to be the goddess of wisdom. So from these literary origins, that word mentor, that name mentor, kind of came down through history in the English language as being somebody who imparts wisdom to us. I didn't know that. I was looking that up this week. I'm like, oh, didn't know that before. But that's really what it's about. And a mentor really does impart wisdom to us. Consider this example, and another great example of a mentor in the Bible. Jethro and Moses. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. And when they were starting to wander in the wilderness a little bit, this is what happens. Moses' father-in-law said to him, that is Moses, what you're doing is not good. And what was not good about the situation was that there were people lined up all over the place to talk to Moses. There were disputes in the camp. There were millions of people wandering through the wilderness. And they're all going to him to answer their questions, their problems. And Moses was worn out. The people were waiting. They were tired. And Jethro came along and said, this is a bad situation. What are you doing, Moses? You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to bear it alone. If you jump ahead a few verses, in 24, it says, "So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said." Jethro says, you know, break this up a bit. How about you just take, you know, a few guys and listen to some of their major things, and they'll listen to some other guys, and it kind of like this triangle, this pyramid kind of thing where you have people who are talking to the people one-on-one, and if they can't handle it, they'll bring it up the chain, and if they can't handle it, they'll bring it up to you, and you'll have a much more manageable system. And Moses says, that's a great idea. That's wonderful. That's an example of wisdom being imparted by somebody who is older to somebody who is younger. Of course, there's other things that mentors do. They encourage us to do what is right. They exhort us from the scriptures. One verse that I don't have on here is Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. It's a great verse. And it talks about the influence we can have on one another. Sharpening iron, making us sharper in our minds in the way that we think about the scriptures and about any given situation. They encourage us to do what is right. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. Here's a relationship between Moses and Joshua. Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with the people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it." Okay, that's something God's going to command of Joshua later on. But here you see, he is addressing Joshua. He's saying, this is what you need to do, and go and do it. You know, oftentimes, mentors, leaders in our lives will do the very same thing to us. We might already know what it is that we need to do, but we need that person to come into our life and just tell us, you know, tell us what we already know and say, go ahead and do it. Give it a shot. Do what you know to be right. 1 Corinthians 15, this is Paul encouraging a group of believers. "I want to remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered for you what's of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures." So Paul reminds them of what they need to know. A good mentor will remind us of what it is we need to know so that we can grow. Because if we don't, we could fall by the wayside and forget what our true purpose is, forget our goal, forget our path, and kind of veer off. And that's what Paul did in many ways to different people. They rebuke us when needed. That's another thing mentors and leaders do for us. Proverbs 27:6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Okay, we can trust somebody who's trying to come up to us and say, "Brother or sister, you know, I really need to talk to you. I love you very much, but I see something that you're doing habitually, and I don't want to see you go down this road. I want to help you." My question is to you tonight, do you have somebody like that? That you have that relationship with? Do you have somebody that can speak truth into your life? You know, do you have somebody who's like a Jethro to you? You could be like, you know what you're doing is not good. This is unwise. You're going to burn yourself out. You're going down a wrong path here. We benefit so much by having people like that in our life. And consequently, do you have somebody like that, if you're older, that you can speak truth into somebody's life who is younger? Somebody you can impart wisdom to? It's so valuable, so helpful. David and Nathan is another good one. Nathan, an older prophet, saying to David, "You are the man." This is after the sin with Bathsheba, where David slept with somebody who wasn't his wife. And God knows, and God confronts him through the prophet Nathan. He comes to him and he says, "You are the man." And it causes David to say, "I have sinned against the Lord." It's an example of a time where somebody confronts another person, and it brings about change. It turns David's heart around. Finally, he recognizes what he has done, and he's no longer trying to hide it. He's come face to face with that. You know, a good friend, a good mentor, a good spiritual advisor can do that for you. Can you bring you face to face with things that we need to hear? But on the flip side of that, they can also extend grace to us when we fail. Oh, I skipped over one of these things. Rebuke us when needed. Jesus did that to Peter. He said, I wouldn't have ever wanted to be told this, but he said it nonetheless. "Get behind me, Satan." Okay? Not the best words you want to hear, okay, from your spiritual leader, your mentor, okay? But Jesus rebuked Peter when he needed to be rebuked. Yet on the flip side, this is what I was getting to, they don't just rebuke us, don't just beat us down. They extend grace to us when we fail. Luke 22, verse 32. And this is, again, Jesus speaking. So he doesn't just, you know, hammer down on Peter and say, you know, "What are you doing, you moron? You know, get out of here. You know, I'm going to go call another disciple, you know, you're my reject disciple. He doesn't say anything like that. He sticks with him and he says, but I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Again, we go to John 21, and this is after Jesus is raised from the dead, and this is after Peter has already betrayed Jesus, and Jesus comes to him, kind of after the fact. And now he's saying, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What does Jesus say? Too bad, I'm sorry you had your chance. You know, I gave you a shot at leadership, you blew it. You could have been the rock, now I'm sorry, I'm going to give that title to somebody else. No, he says, feed my lambs. What's happening there is Jesus entrusts him with responsibility. He still extends grace. He knows Peter's heart, and he questions him, yes, but he extends grace to him even when he fails, so that Peter may not just be stuck in his sin, but be able to move past it and to be able to grow. Bouncing off from that, we also have, they entrust us with responsibility. Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And then he says later on, Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men to go out and fight the Amalekites. He leaves this responsibility with Joshua. Before Moses departs, before his role in this journey is done, he entrusts certain responsibilities to Joshua as Joshua is serving as his assistant and helps him out. Another thing a spiritual leader does for us is they care about our spiritual life and pray for us. Again, I come back to Jesus' example here. He says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Isn't it encouraging when you know that somebody in the church is praying for you? Especially if you're up against something big, you know? I'm up against a really difficult situation right now. Will you pray for me? And when you know somebody's praying for you, boy, is that nice. Boy, is that so encouraging right here. But to know that Jesus is praying for you, wow. Can you imagine what that would have been like to be Peter in this situation? I have the King of Kings praying for me. Jesus says, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. The good news is for us that in John 17, Jesus does pray for us. He prayed for his disciples, yes, but I believe that prayer extends beyond just the 12 and it extends even to us. And if you read that, it's too lengthy for me to include here. Jesus prays for us. Jesus was the master, discipler, and mentor. The thing that we should keep in mind as we talk about this difference between a disciple and a mentor, or a mentor and a leader just who's making disciples, is a mentor is somebody who focuses on somebody a little bit more precisely than a disciple maker. When we talk about making disciples, that can extend to a wide range of people. When you talk about a mentor, that's a little bit more focused. And we see that even true in Jesus' ministry. He spoke to the crowds. He had the 12 disciples. But there are three disciples in particular that he spoke to even more closely, Peter being one of them. So you can see there's even this tiered level of things where Jesus spent the most amount of his time and the most amount of his teaching with a certain narrow group. But then he also extended that in a lesser way, in a more broad way with other people. They care about our spiritual life and pray for us. Philemon chapter, there's only one chapter, sorry, verses 4 through 6. This is Paul, and this is just an example of him praying. He prayed that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the knowledge of every good thing that is for the sake of Christ. Okay, that's Paul's prayer. There are many other examples, of course. Paul's letters are filled with prayer. In fact, D.A. Carson counts 41 prayers of Paul in the New Testament. And in those prayers, Paul prays for endurance on the part of the people he's discipling, joy and peace, hope, unity, comfort in the midst of suffering, a spirit of wisdom, love for one another, sanctification, and faith. So if you're wondering this morning, well, how can I be a mentor to somebody? Those would be good things to pray for. If you're asking, how can I be an influence? What can I pray about for somebody? Pray for somebody's joy and peace, for their endurance, for their comfort in the midst of suffering, for a spirit of wisdom, for sanctification, for faith. All of those things are wonderful things you could put down on your list. If you want to identify somebody, you say, you know what? I want to be an influence to somebody. That's a great way to start. Prayer. Pray for them. So my question to you is, as we wrap things up here, is wouldn't you like to have somebody like that in your life? Wouldn't you like to have somebody like that in your life? When you think of all those things that a mentor, a spiritual leader can do for you, wouldn't that be great? Here's what you can do. Okay, how can you take advantage of something like that? First, seek out mentors, especially if you're younger. Okay, seek out somebody who's older. And that's a scriptural idea we went over about how wisdom is with the aged. Now, it's not that wisdom necessarily always comes with people who are older than you. Just because we get older doesn't necessarily mean that we always grow in wisdom. Two examples right off the top of my head, you think of Naomi and Ruth, right? So there's an example of where Ruth had a close relationship with Naomi, but if anything, Ruth was the one who was kind of more spiritually mature than Naomi was. There was a perfect example where she could have been a mentor to her, but she really wasn't. You think about Eli and Samuel, okay? Here's Samuel, a young boy who is more spiritually discerning than Eli, who has been in the temple for years, where he kept hearing these visions from God or hearing voices saying, you know, here I am, Lord. And Samuel had more of a perception about that than Eli did. So it's not just that somebody who is older is necessarily going to be a best mentor for you, but you can identify, I think, when you see people who are wise, people who are strong in their Christian example. Seek out mentors. And you can also be that kind of person, okay? Seek to be a mentor. If you're older, seek to share your example with him. This is not something that you can necessarily force, by the way. It's not like you want to go to somebody and say, okay, I'm going to be your mentor, and you're going to be my mentee, and that's how it's going to work, okay? Because even in the Bible, in these examples I shared with you, I don't think we'll ever see that happening. You don't see Moses going up to Joshua and saying, okay, I'm going to do this for you, or anything like that. It's something that kind of develops naturally. If you're not sure how to begin it, pray for somebody. Just start by praying for somebody on your own time and then coming up to them and saying, hey, I'm praying for you. Ask how they're doing. Ask how you can be praying for them. And if you're younger, seek those kind of people out. When you have a spiritual question, when you need advice, don't just keep it to yourself. Go to somebody that you respect. And who knows, maybe that kind of relationship can be developed. Follow godly leaders. As you think about people who are in the national scene, you know, follow people who are worthy to be followed, not people who are kind of sketchy and teach kind of strange things. Be careful who it is that you follow. Because we see that in the Old Testament, we have godly kings who led people into idolatry, and we have godly kings like Josiah who led people into worship of the one true God. And it all depends on who you follow, which leaders you decide to follow. So be discerning. If you're a parent, be a mentor to your children. Be a mentor to your children. We're commanded many times in Scripture to pass on what we know to our children. In that sense, mentoring is a really good example of what kind of relationship you can have with your children. Now, that doesn't encompass it all. Okay, I won't say that's a perfect analogy. Okay, sometimes a parent is just simply the person who lays down the law, right? and it doesn't extend much beyond that. Sometimes that's what needs to happen. But especially as your children grow older, you can start to assume this kind of role as they kind of establish their own home or have their own family, to be that person who's available to them to impart wisdom as they come to you and to be there praying for you and doing all or praying for them as these things occur. And allow others to speak truth into your life. Are you in a place where you allow people to say these kind of things to you? Nobody likes to be rebuked, okay? Nobody likes to have somebody come up to them and tell them, you know what you're doing here? I don't think that's how a Christian should be. And our natural inclination is to kind of shield ourselves and not establish those relationships. If all this stuff has been foreign to you and you're like, I've never had that kind of relationship, Pastor Dave, I've never had somebody who I would call a mentor, ask yourself, is it because that you've been guarded? Is it because that you just don't really want somebody to get that close to you? I would say, break down that wall. Pray for God to break that down for you. Because when you look back at all these different things we've discussed, you see how God can change you through the voice of somebody else. There could be a time where, again, that they can just speak truth into your life when you need to hear it. I'll close just with this personal example of mine. I said, Corey, a person I went to school with is one of my, I guess you could say mentors, somebody I share a good close relationship to. And when I first became a pastor here a number of years ago, I was in the office like until late hours in the morning. This was before our kids were born. And it was just, I wasn't home much at all. I was just studying and trying to do this and trying to do that. And I just wasn't managing my time well. And he was coming to visit us just on a regular, him and his wife were just coming to visit us regularly, no particular reason. But he had kind of heard as, you know, as about things as we kind of described our situation. And he just pulled me aside. He took me, you know, off somewhere else. We kind of drove off and sat in a parking lot. And he said, Dave, what are you doing? If you keep going down this path, you're going to ruin your relationship with your wife. And when you have kids, you're not going to know them. They're not going to know you. You're going to be distant, and it's just not going to work. And I needed to hear that at the time. I fought him at first. You know, when somebody first comes to you, you never want to hear it. And I fought it at first. But after we sat there for a while and he stayed on me, I came to realize, you know what? He's right. He's right. And I think that conversation changed a great deal about how I manage time from here on out, why I'm not stuck in that same kind of pattern. Now, I say this, I still have nights where I do that, where I don't manage things well, and I still have to work later on and everything, and I'm like, if I only would have done this better, I could have avoided this and stuff, and I still need to ask forgiveness from my family when I do that. But I think I my direction was changed drastically. I am a better person. I am on a better path. Because I allowed him and because God brought him into my life to speak that truth into my life. Do you have somebody like that in your life? And quite possibly, could you be that kind of voice to help out somebody else who's younger? I want you to pray about that and think about that. And if it's something that you don't currently have, ask God to help open up doors for that to happen. And I'm telling you, a lot of growth can come about in our lives when we do. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, our desire, our goal in our life is to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And in several of these verses we talked about tonight, Lord, we saw how Jesus himself spent time with individuals, imparted wisdom, imparted knowledge, imparted time to those he desired to help in their spiritual walk. And God, we see countless other examples in the Scripture where older individuals came alongside of and helped those who were younger, told them the things they needed to hear, prayed for them. And God, we desire to have a prayer life like Paul. God, we desire to have the wisdom like Solomon. God, we desire to have the zeal for righteousness like Josiah. God, help us to be that kind of leader in somebody's life and to be open enough to have those kinds of leaders influence us. And God, may you help bring about change through your Holy Spirit in our own hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.